This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, September 15th, 2022, The Memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows, by Father William Doc Holliday.
So the soldiers did this, standing by the cross of Jesus, where his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Women, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We look at the Blessed Mother's sorrows. See the seven sorrows. The seven sorrows that we identify, sorrows that were repeated throughout her life. This is why that our Blessed Mother not only bears the title of Our Lady of Sorrows, but also the Queen of Martyrs. She was indeed a martyr more than any other. Her martyrdom was spoken of both prophetically by Simeon when she presented our Lord in the temple, and he told her that this child will be for the downfalling and uprising of many in Israel, and that a sword would pierce her own soul. And then at the cross, we see it actually happen, our Blessed Mother's martyrdom. When we look at the suffering, the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can never, ever disassociate the flesh of Christ and what happened to him from the soul of his mother. You cannot disassociate the two. I put on a lot of Marian feast days. Did God receive things from his Blessed Mother that he did not have? God has everything. God could not suffer. God could not be hungry. God did not get tired. God did not have a body. He got all those things from the fiat of his Blessed Mother. This means, as I said, we cannot disassociate what happened to him with her own soul. Our Blessed Mother's martyrdom, I mean, we can talk, and I have said it in the past time and time again, and we can and should, when we meditate on the sorrows of our Blessed Mother, look at how she must have felt as she observed and watched the things that happened to her son. Any mother, for any son, would be grieved beyond comprehension. For her, it was worse, because it just wasn't her son, it was her God. The one she bore was her creator. She suffered, in some ways, more than he did. For instance, the lance that opened the side of our Lord Jesus Christ at his crucifixion. When that lance pierced our Lord Jesus Christ, it pierced his flesh, but it went nowhere near his soul because he had already given up his soul to the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ was dead when that happened. But that lance that pierced the side of his flesh pierced her soul, who was still standing there and watched the abuse of even the corpse of her son. So this lance ripped through the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mother. This is what I mean about she in some ways suffered even more than he did. When that happened, he had returned to his glory. She had not. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he says, how could the soul of Mary not have been pierced when even before our Lord died while he was hanging on the cross, how could her soul not have been pierced? For 33 years, she had had Jesus as her son. And Jesus now tells her she has John. As great as John was, nothing near Jesus.
She received the servant of her son rather than the Lord himself. She received the son of Zebedee instead of living with the Son of God. She received a man instead of God himself. This in and of itself would be something that would pierce her soul. This one who bore the creator of all things in her womb for 9 months and then lived for 33 years with the blessed Savior. This is the martyrdom of the Blessed Virgin Mother. Not martyrdom, we usually hear that, and being burned in the stake or thrown to the animals or whatever the flavor of the month was and how they killed people back in those days. The martyrdom of soul is actually much more grievous. Sure, early church father was talking about, for instance, women who give themselves to virginity and men who live a celibate life in this world. He said that is a martyrdom that far exceeds the martyrdom of anybody who was ever burned at the stake or thrown to animals, because their suffering is over in a few moments. But the suffering of giving up something like a husband or a wife and a family, that's every single day and every moment of every day. And enduring the temptations to turn away from the vows and the promises you make. So this martyrdom of soul, it applies to even creatures. But for the martyrdom of our Blessed Mother, this martyrdom of soul, you think about it, it is so unique that we only hear about this from St. John the Divine in his gospel. The gospel that we read today from John chapter 19. In that gospel is the only time we hear this story of our Lord speaking to his mother from the cross. It's interesting that only St. John the Divine does it, because you know, what do the other gospel writers write about? The other gospel writers write about how when our Lord was dying on the cross, and as he died, there was this tremendous earthquake, that the skies in the middle of the day were darkened like night, that rocks split apart, that dead were raised from the graves. This creation raging against the death of the Creator. And even the thief on the cross, our Lord looks at him right before his death. Today you will be with me in paradise. This proclamation of his inheriting the kingdom of heaven. You know, all the other gospel writers, the synoptic writers, all speak of these glorious things, and they are. I do not say this to undercut them at all. They are glorious. St. John the Divine does not mention them once. What does he mention? The discourse between Jesus and his mother. This is really profound when you sit back and look at it, because John teaches us that our Lord addressed his mother from the cross. We don't hear that anywhere else. This is something that is more noteworthy than the giving of the kingdom to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's interesting. One of the commentators said that the other accounts lead us to God, and they give us some facts, some really dramatic and glorious facts about the inheriting of the kingdom of heaven. We have these facts, we're led to God, but in John's account, we're led to devotion. We see the devotion of the Blessed Virgin with her son. We see the devotion of a woman who completely ignored, in an undaunted manner, faced her son's executioners, thumbed her nose at any danger to herself, and stayed there with him. Her devotion toward him is a tremendous lesson that we learn from St. John. But this is interesting to think, this is for all your Protestant friends who question Catholic devotion to the Mother of God. Well, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, showed her devotion from the cross, because that's what he was doing. He just did not leave her. Obviously, Saint Joseph was gone. He was out of the picture. He had died, because if he hadn't, the law would dictate that she just stays with him. That would be her husband. There would be no reason for this. So Saint Joseph's out of the picture. So from a legal standpoint, Jesus is now gone. She has no other kindred that close, and our Lord looks at her and in his devotion to her gives her to St. John the Divine. This devotion is something that we need to take away from this. This is why St. John presents this, So like I said, the synoptic writers, they teach us about God and facts, very glorious facts, but we learn about devotion, the devotion of our Blessed Mother to our Lord, and the devotion of our Lord to the Blessed Mother. Now, our Lord, this is the only thing we hear about of her, him speaking to her. This should be something that we need to emulate. We need to be speaking to her. We need to use her as an intercessor. This is where we get things like this. This is why the devotion. So the next person, the next time a Protestant looks at you or a Catholic, and there are many out there, oh, we shouldn't be paying too much attention to Mary. Well, if Jesus did, I will also. This should be the response. We can understand facts. We can even appreciate the drama of some things. But we really need to be led into devotion. And this is what St. John does. So if Jesus Christ demonstrated that much devotion to his Blessed Mother, how should we? So on this day, when we look at the and contemplate and meditate upon the sorrows that she lived and endured in her whole life, we have to appreciate this aspect of martyrdom. She was martyred in a much more grievous. This is why she's the queen of martyrs. I actually was talking to somebody earlier about this, and this is, I say quite often, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. For years, whenever we reach this day, because even it's a very, very beautiful Mass in the ordinariate form also. It is a really, really nice Mass. It's got to be one of the top three that I like, if not tied for the top. It's a very beautiful Mass. So this devotion that we have that's manifest in the traditional Mass and in the Mass of the ordinariate, the Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her martyrdom. I've always wondered, why is the color of the day white then? It doesn't make sense. White, why is it? We're celebrating sorrows. Well, for what that, could it be purple? What is purple? It's penitential. Every other martyr who ever died, no matter how glorious they were and how great they were, every martyr, when they died, their martyrdom, the pain that they endured, could be offered up as an expiation for the sins that they committed while they lived in this world. It's penitential. Our Blessed Mother had no sin. So even in her martyrdom, there was no expiation for her sins. So it couldn't be purple. Hey, well, you know, if it's martyrdom, it should be red then, because red's martyrdom. Her martyrdom was so much more intense than the shedding of blood. Her martyrdom was her very soul. When you look at it this way, like I said, it's been years. I've always been bothered by the white. And this morning, and I did. I just sat back and I was like, help me out with this. I'm not getting this. And those two things just really didn't pop into my mind. Contemplate it. But if you think about things like that, it's like, duh. For years, it's really bothered me. It shouldn't be white. Yes, it should. Yes, it should, because it's the martyrdom of the sinless one. No other martyr is like that. So it should be white. Now that's fixed for me. This is the things that we should glean from the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. A devotion to the Blessed Mother will continue and continue and continue and draw us closer to we understand more and more and more as to why the Church teaches what it does about her. Because, again, you know, you're a response to your friends who don't like devotion to Mary. Every single thing that the Catholic Church teaches and believes about Mary, it teaches and believes because of what it teaches and believes about Jesus Christ and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.